Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Adam Wozniak, and I'm joined today by my good friends and co-hosts, Joy McDonald and Darren Parkinson. How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
Doing great, Adam.
Good to be. Like, how's your guys' week been? Anything crazy happen? Anything good? Anything bad? What's going on?
Not much. It's been a good week so far.
Yeah, for me, I've been around the studio a lot, so yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I got I did Chegg rentals, I think, for the first time this past semester, and I totally forgot to return it at all.
Oh, wow.
So I had to make an emergency run to UPS store yesterday. As I saw the email, at 3:30. Oh man.
How does that work? You get a late fee? Do they put a stamp on your library card?
No, I got it was due June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went, I printed out the sheet and I went to the UPS store on Roswell Road, and they just took care of it and I didn't have to pay anything. I think it's technically already paid for, nothing's free, but I was very grateful for that. So yeah. It would have been $60 if they didn't get their package. Oh, man. But today we have a very special guest, an author, Mr. Sean Lewis. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good. To start us off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man. First of all, I'd like to say thanks for allowing me to be here. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Of course.
Well, I'm an author, entrepreneur, financial advisor, investment broker.
Oh, boy.
Yes, those are some of the titles that I feel comfortable with using.
Those are good ones to have.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Let's tell us a little bit about investment brokering.
Okay, good question. I like that, man. We can jump right into the meat and potatoes of things. The main objective is really connecting the dots, connecting people with the right investments that fit their situation, ultimately. My main objective is also to stay in tune with the economical opportunities when it comes to investments, what investments are actually good and what investments are actually making people money.
Mm-hmm.
So I just connect the dot, basically.
Okay. So you're saying the right investment for each person. I'm assuming they're different.
Yeah, and just to give a little bit more clarity, investments can be anywhere from you invest into the stock market, you invest into real estate. People are looking for different areas to put their money and to invest their money for different purposes, of course. But the investment aspect is being able to put your money somewhere where you can gain more interest and it's protected.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do ultimately, and what an investment broker's job is to get to know what his client's expectations are when it comes to their finances, and what expectations they have on their investments when it comes to their family as well.
Right. So I guess the very important part of, spending money in investments, working with the broker, is kind of understanding the just kind of how it all works and what everything means. And some will say being financially literate. That totally wasn't forced. But can you tell us a little bit about the importance of being financially literate?
Oh, man, great question. I mean, that's something that that's very passionate to me, really.
And also, before you get into that, can you help define financial literacy?
Okay. Gotcha. I like that.
Better than my cheesy workaround.
Okay. Well, when you look at financial literacy is a word that describes someone who is either educating themselves on finance, whether it be, reading books, taking classes, or getting a program. It's all about self-education, ultimately. And, of course, we all know you can get financially educated in school as well. But financial literacy is it goes a little bit beyond just the regular conventional school education. Because there are certain things that's not being taught in school. So, or in the household. So when you talk about financial literacy, you're talking about just the basic principles of how to handle money. Okay, the basic principles of just how to handle money, whether it be managing money, saving money, or budgeting money. You know, financial literacy is basically just like what the word literacy is. That means that you're aware, you're alert, you're educating yourself, you're illiterate to what's going on around you. So when you deal with financial literacy, I promote the importance of it because there's so many different challenges right now in the economy today when it comes to just surviving on the day-to-day, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, just to touch upon financial illiteracy is pretty much like an epidemic that runs rampant, and it doesn't matter what city you're in or what college you actually go to. Financial illiteracy is a big, big problem when it comes to people not receiving the proper education, but they're constantly handling money.
Mm-hmm.
They're handling money on different principles that's not really helping their bottom line financially. So you have financial literacy, then you have financial illiteracy. Financial illiteracy is someone who needs to really educate themselves a little bit more when it comes to finances, when it comes to credit, debt, and when it comes to your finances.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. I mean, you go back to high school, they teach wood shop, auto tech, things like that. And I mean, how many people are sitting in their garage right now whittling away at something? They don't teach investments, nothing like that at that age.
Yeah.
I mean, I had an econ class. And shout out to Mr. Hobbs, if you're listening.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I could have benefited from like a basic, very basic tax class.
Yeah, they give you an overview of how the whole money system works, but they don't teach you how to balance your own money. They don't teach you about taxes, investments, nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, I think the main thing we were learning was maybe like the difference between like different types of banks and the way the market works just in general, you know, mm-hmm. you know, why it goes up, what's going to rise, you know, supply and demand, like, you know, the invisible hand mm-hmm. of the capitalism.
Yeah, market. But it's all a big picture, and it's hard to relate that back to yourself. Yeah, and
it's macro.
Yeah. And I mean, even in college, I mean, it's kind of like a reiteration of that. And it doesn't really ever teach, like, I guess, independent financial investing and just financial literacy yourself. It still teaches you the big picture. So I really applaud what you're doing.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And that's just something, it's my passion. College students is my target market for what I do, as me being an author, as me, you know, being a financial advisor. I just see the challenges when it comes to the economy, when it comes to just the challenges financially, just the day-to-day survival, what it takes to just financially survive on a day-to-day. And then I look at the young adults, the college students. You guys are like the next generation. You know, you guys are the next lawyers, scientists, accountants, financial advisors. So what is going on is there's a wave of confusion, I would say, confusion when it comes to college students and planning their careers and getting their majors and really starting off on a good start. You know, there's not many tools and programs that's really preparing college students and educating themselves and or helping them educate themselves when it comes to their loans, the interest rate that they're being charged on their loans, as well as how credit works mm-hmm. and how to manage credit and how to understand credit. And these are things that I feel that are missing, you know, that they're missing when it comes to the whole college community on a whole. That's the reason why when you look at statistics, if you look at statistics now at the average college student who graduates with debt,
I don't want to look at that.
I know. I'm sorry. I do apologize. But it's such a reality that it's disturbing. Mm-hmm. It's really disturbing when you look at that percentage of college students who are graduating in debt. And, you know, when you have bad debt, I mean, when you have bad credit and you have debt, that affects the interest rates on you applying for a loan, a car loan, mm-hmm. a house, you know. When you have bad credit, it really develops certain obstacles that, you know, it's going to be even harder for you trying to start your life to get over those obstacles just at the start of you graduating from college.
Oh, and the student loan debt is, I think I hear it on NPR at least once a week about how it's affecting the housing market. Because millennials
yeah.
and...
Yeah, they say that that's going to be the next bubble to burst.
Yeah, nobody's buying because they're like, I can't just take on a mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, I can't take on a, you know, $120,000 mortgage or more. Like it just couldn't happen with the student loan debt. Even if they're working gainfully employed, it's just still, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when you really look at the reality of a college student graduating from college, when they graduate, they would have to at least be making $40,000 plus a year just to address the responsibility of that that payment of debt that they have. So if you're graduating from college and you don't make $40,000 a year plus, you're going to be struggling paying off your student loan.
Mm-hmm.
And then coupled with, I'm sorry to call you out, millennials, but we're one of the most entitled generations. So we think we just want to go to college and someone's going to hand us that job. And well, when reality hits, it hits.
Yeah, man, it does. And there's no counselor or teacher there for you to for you to cry yeah. on your shoulder and say, why did you tell me? But, you know, more on a serious note, that's the reason why I do what I do, man. That's this book is really catered to college students. You know, it was written for college students to arm them with ammunition, information that will enhance their decision making when it comes to getting sent those credit card, free credit, $5,000 limit, $10,000 limit, you know. And these are credit traps.
You know,
the lending institutions and credit bureaus, they target college students. You guys are like gold to them when it comes to, you know, you're basically, you're new. You know,
financially illiterate, right?
Yeah, financially illiterate. You're green. You're like a green bean when it comes to finances and credit. And I just really want to shed this light on the word credit, because I really think that this will really help a lot of the young adults. Because when you really ask the average college student, what does credit mean? They'll, like all of you guys, just gave the head nod, like, I don't know. But the word credit is derived from the word credibility. Credibility. So when you look at credit repair, there's really no such thing as credit repair, because you can't repair someone's credibility. So that's the reason why it's a trillion-dollar business. The banks know how to manipulate college students because they know that you lack in credibility. You're not as grown up and mature yet to handle money. So even if you go into debt, they repair your credit today, they know you'll be back 3 months.
Yeah, because unfortunately the person, it's funny, me and Joy were just talking about this 2 days ago. Yeah, I mean, the typical person, the rare few people that pay it off month to month and are really consistent with it, they're not making any money off them.
No.
So you're right. It's actually, I mean, it's kind of scary when you put it like that they target us and they know that we're vulnerable and they're basically taking advantage of the ignorance. That's, well... Yeah.
Yeah. And I am not the only one, but I'm one of very few people who are vocal, you know, who are vocal about it. You know, My name is Sean Lewis. I'm an author, investment broker, and financial advisor, and I stand for college students. You know, I would rather help college students be successful and helping them start their business and understanding what credit is and how to build themselves up as business owners instead of graduating from college and trying to just get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's definitely a process when you deal with credit repair, but you have to approach it the right way. Because when you look at credit repair, it's more of a business than actually a tool that's going to help people.
Right.
You know,
it's like it's the whole credit repair industry.
Yes.
You know, it's based on people having bad credit to begin with. Yeah. They don't have bad credit, they don't have an industry.
They don't have an industry. That's, man, you kind of hit the hammer right on the nail with that, because you know, it's a certain level of maturity that we all have to grow to develop. So we grow into maturity just like we grow into being more credible. Right? Mm-hmm. So only you, excuse me, only you yourself can repair your credibility, right? Because that defines who you are. So as you grow and mature, you begin to see, okay, well, it's more important for me to be more responsible. Now, when you start thinking along those lines of being more responsible when you handle money, now what? You have more credibility now. You have more credibility to where now you don't have to worry about really the credit repair anymore. So you won't need that anymore because you've developed a game plan and an understanding of how money works. And you're going to be responsible moving forward. Now you're going to manage your money. You're going to budget your money. So now your credibility is a lot stronger. So they don't want you to get to a point where you understand this and like,
oh, it totally doesn't work to their advantage.
Oh, no, it doesn't work to their advantage at all. So that's kind of one of the things that I really want to touch upon, because I feel that if college students start understanding the importance of being more responsible early mm-hmm. in the phases of being a freshman in college, they will then avoid a lot of the credit traps, avoid a lot of the debt traps that's set for college students.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally agree. I wish I was more financially literate, you know, when I was 18.
Yeah, for sure. So do you feel like if at a young age you're more financially literate, that these people wouldn't have to focus on repairing their credit? They would be able to focus on building strong credit so that when they did graduate, they were able to get loans, they could get a loan for a car, they could get an apartment, instead of finding out, oh, hey, I have zero credit history and I can't even rent my own apartment.
Yes, yes. And that's so true. That is so true. And it's all about awareness, really trying to help as many college students and just spread the word, the importance of financial literacy. Because, mm-hmm. you know, once college students start just thinking about financial literacy, just a thought. That's all you have to start, just a thought. Because once you start thinking of the importance a little bit, you'll start beginning to see things evolve, like interest rates, like why are they charging me so much interest? Or, mm-hmm. or your credit card, you know.
You can't notice change if you had, you know, if you hadn't started noticing anything.
Exactly. It's a process, but, you know, I would prefer in what you call a perfect world, that everybody could be taught financial literacy at a young age before they even go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way they'll at least just have a better outlook of responsibility.
Right.
You know, it's not so much college. A lot of people think college is, and you're only human, college is a way to get out the house, to be responsible, to get away from your parents, to, you know, just to have some sort of level of independence as a young adult.
Freedom.
Yeah. Actually, it's freedom but the type of freedom that it
it's
is
limited.
Yes, it's very limited. You got, it's very limited.
You know, some people say ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, when you overindulge in that freedom, that's when the sharks
that send you back home, put you to work.
Yeah, that's when the sharks come out and you see that. Yeah, home is safer. Like you don't want the independence anymore from your parents. You know.
So Sean, what initially got you so passionate about this to begin? Like, what was the tipping point? What, you know?
Yeah, where did this all start?
What happened 8 years ago?
Man, great question, man. Great question. I would say it was a couple of things, of course. Being able to provide for my family and my son, of course. But I would say on a bigger scale, just I started in this whole finance game being a loan officer. I started being a loan officer, and my whole journey kind of really started from there, because, you know, being a loan officer, you're dealing with real people on real time.
Oh yeah, you gotta look them in the eye.
You know, who are trying to get a home and who are trying to, you know, get in a better position to provide a place for their family. And when you see some of the stories and hear some of the stories of people who, because they're not prepared financially, they're not able to get a house, or they get turned down for loans and things of that nature. You see, you know, certain people just go through so much red tape that it really somewhat affects their family financially, you know. So it's really something that I was trying to figure out, what can I do more to really help people be prepared? What could I do more to help people learn how to understand the type of loans that they're requesting from the bank, you know? And is this when you see a problem for so long and people kind of are struggling with that problem, you begin to see, okay, well, how can I help fix this problem? How can I go about learning something that I could service people better? And that's where the mission started, man. I really wanted to figure out a way on how I could help people when it comes to their finances, because the challenges that we all face when it comes to not only finding a good job, but making money, you know, not everyone have the same access. Let's just say that. Not right. Everyone have the same access. So I really wanted to try to, my idea was, how could I go about helping people become more financially aware, financially literate? How can I help people build a stronger foundation financially? And once I really started looking at college students, that's when I took the gloves off, because it's an unfair battle. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're adults and when you go into debt, you're an adult. Okay, well, everything is based off decisions. You know, sometimes you make bad decisions, you're supposed to learn from them as an adult. But when you're a college student, you're trying to learn, you're trying to get a good start. So why would an industry, a banking industry, a lending industry continue to build off of the backs of college students? Because when you really look at it, and these are statistics, college debt is in the trillions. College debt is $1 trillion business right now. That's facts.
Yeah.
That's facts. So we can just look at, okay, well, are you going to college to get an education, or are you going to college to help the economy grow? off of your debt. I mean, and these are questions and conversations that need to be asked. These are questions that has to be talked about amongst, you know, the millennials, to start figuring out other solutions and other avenues that they could take to kind of even the playing field. You know, I would never say don't go to college, but I would definitely say if you go to college, prepare yourself to go to college, you know? And I would definitely say that my book isn't the only book that's out, but my book is definitely one of the top books that I say that will not only help college students, but it will educate them in areas that they need to be educated in when it comes to their journey of being a college student and then graduating from college debt-free. Because there is a way. It's just not being talked about as much. And then, you know, just like you say, that wouldn't be a popular subject to talk about when you're dealing in the loan offices and the financial offices. They don't want to hear about that, you know.
So, I mean, they definitely wouldn't.
No.
So, you know, that's their money.
Yeah. So that's my passion, man. I really appreciate just the platform to have a voice to let a lot of this information be put out into the universe, you know, and just if I only help one person, if one person can get it and understand, okay, well, you know what? Let me really start taking this a little more serious. Let me start educating myself a little bit more about how I handle money, because we make money. Mm-hmm. It's just most of us handle it the wrong way.
Yeah. How do you feel about financial literacy and how it varies according to your income level?
Good question. It all falls on budgeting. You know, it all falls on budgeting. I would say budgeting is like the ultimate foundation, you know, because when you look at financial literacy, you have to have money coming in. Money has to come in somewhere for you to either make bad decisions with it or good decisions. And, you know, when you deal with the foundation and the foundation of financial literacy is just basic principles on how to save money, how to manage money, and how to budget money. That's what the foundation of financial literacy is when you get money, how do you handle it? What is your literacy level? What level are you on when it comes to getting your paycheck and it's payday, and how do you handle it? Do you budget it? Do you put some away? Do you pay yourself? Do you pay your debt off? Mm-hmm. It's different variables.
And rainy day fund.
Yeah, all of that. So is this really knowing how to maneuver when you get money?
Now, when we initially start talking about financial literacy, you mentioned that it's the main part of it is continual education.
Yes.
What are some of the ways, or I guess sources of information that you use to continually becoming more and more financially literate?
Great question. You know, you have the internet, of course, but I would say being more direct and more intention. You want to network with the right people. Mm-hmm. You want to network with people who have a stronger foundation of understanding finance in different areas, because it's different areas of finance. You know, I don't specialize in all areas, but what I do understand enough is that when it comes to an area that I'm not as intelligent in, I know how to go about networking with the right people. Mm-hmm. So I would say the answer to the question is, of course, reading books, spending time to invest in yourself, come up with a game plan, mm-hmm. you know, a financial game plan that fits your lifestyle, that fits you. And you kind of move according to that.
Yeah. You know? Do you listen to anything like any, I mean, other than Biz Radio U every Friday at 11:30?
I like that.
Anything else? Like, that's, back when I had cable, watched Bloomberg News, mm-hmm. and what was the financial channel? I hadn't had cable in like 2 years. It's weird.
So that's what accounting majors watch in their spare time.
Hey.
Spare time. Yeah, that's always. But I mean, do you listen to anything like that, or you tuned in?
You know what? To be honest, I'm more old fashioned. I like reading. Mm-hmm. You know, I like reading. I like research. I like just having the pen in hand and a highlighter and just highlight. Just
going to town on the newspaper.
Yes, man. I feel that my research skills is based upon me reading versus me listening to different inspirational, I would say, information about finance, which I do. You know, I listen to lectures, you know, I listen to different things that pique my attention. But I'm more on the self-education side and just reading books, man. Mm-hmm. Just reading and, you know, you may never find all the information in one book, but if you read several books, there's a pattern of truth that you'll find.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you may find 3% of the truth in this book and 15% of the truth in another book. So it's just like you really got to apply yourself to really learning, you know, what makes you happy? How do you want to live your life? What type of lifestyle do you see yourself living? And you kind of want to move from that standpoint, you know, when it comes to your finances. Because to me personally, what is rich and wealthy to me may be different from you, may be different from the next person. So we have to figure out what type of lifestyle financially that we want to see ourselves living. And we kind of work according to that, you know, when we choose our careers. And even if you have to have a career change, you're still basing that career change off of what? The lifestyle you want to live, whether if it's the car you drive, you want to drive, the house you want to live in, the area, the neighborhood, everything is kind of, your decision making will be based off of the type of lifestyle, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that happened to me throughout college, and I see a big problem with, is people go to college just because it's the next thing to do. Then they kind of go through classes, they'll stumble around, they'll figure out, oh, I kind of like this, I think I'll do this, they'll pick a degree. And then after that degree, then they're like, okay, what career kind of comes with that? Okay, I'll pick that one. And then the lifestyle falls in with it. But for me, I kind of realized a couple of years ago that you got to flip that. You got to figure out what lifestyle do you want to build, what career facilitates that lifestyle, and then what degree should I get? But no one thinks like that.
Man, you hit the hammer right on the nail. I mean, that's the man. If I can get 1,000 more college students thinking like that, that's the game plan. That's the game plan, because sometimes we have to look at things outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
We already kind of know what's inside of the box, but we can't just focus on just the conventional approach. And that's what you've done. You kind of re-looked at what it is that your goals are, and then you kind of found another way to go about accomplishing your goals. And sometimes that other way, it may work better for you, you know, because when you look at just the average young adult living with their parents, you know, they just graduated from high school, senior, they just graduated, and they're thinking about, what's my next move, you know? You know, 9 times out of 10, you got to get out of your parents' house, you know? Most situations is look like that. So it's like your parents are looking at you like, what are you going to do with your life? And then you're asking yourself, what do I want to do with my life? So, you know, if we had just that, I would say that area of a young adult graduating from high school, just that one area where we can kind of teach them, okay, well, there's other options out here other than just going to college. How about starting a business? How about going to a vocational school? How about learning a trade?
Oh yeah, trades, I feel like, are completely underrated nowadays.
Yeah. But those are options. Those are other options that I think that, you know, it's not being put on the table enough when it comes to helping a young adult make their decision once they graduate from high school. You know, it's not just the pressure of what college am I going to go to and what grade point average do I need to get into college, what loans I need to get.
Yeah, honestly, where were you in high school? Because, I mean, I stumbled through college a lot. And, I mean, through trial and error, I learned a little bit of what you're talking about. And, I wish there was someone in high school that could share that information with me at that age. Because I feel like if you plant the seed then, I mean, when you get to college, you'll be so far ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, man, and that's dead on, because you gotta try to figure out a way in how you can make the connection. And the connection is, how do we get them when they're early? How do we get these young adults coming right out of high school before they are just dependent upon the powers that be of the college and the educational system, mm-hmm. on the whole? Sometimes, you know, parents don't know what they don't know. You know, when it comes to preparing their kids for college, you know, if your parents weren't taught, they can't teach you.
Right.
So that's kind of where, you know, you would have to really look at where the problem stems from. And then once you see where it stems from, you can start trying to figure out a solution to where it's no longer a problem anymore. And that's what I do. That's what I do. I do workshops and seminars only to educate people. Like I'm being here today, educating people, educating you guys. That is something that I feel that is lacking. It's lacking when it comes to really helping college students and young adults really survive and really learn about the life challenges that they're going to be stuck to learn, whether if you're in debt or not in debt.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, this has been a really great show. I can't thank you enough. But before we wrap up, we want to ask one last question, and that is, before you started, is there one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you're starting out? What would that be? I know this is everyone gets that moment where they're like, "Whoa!"
It's like, hold on.
That's a good question.
Because it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that happens in that time. Yeah. So I mean,
I would say I just wish I was more aware of how to handle money. You know, just if I would have had a little bit more education on just the responsibility of money, you know, just of money, of budgeting, and of how to save it. You know, I figure if I could say anything, man, if you could just think back of how much money you wasted, how much money has actually went through your hands that was wasted. I would say, just if I would have learned how to save money and how to just, you know, the importance of saving.
That's awesome.
Wise words. I wish I kind of thought of that a little more. all right. And I guess I know we just said that was the last thing, but the actual last thing. So anyway, if people want to learn more, become more financially literate, and they want to learn it through you, what's the best place to reach you?
The best place to reach me is my website, which is seanmlewis.com, spelled out S-H-A-W-N.
We'll tweet the link out.
E-L-W-I-S.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Sean Lewis. My website is basically where you can actually purchase my book. I also have a second book coming out in 45 days as well. That is,
oh, nice.
That is basically stemming from the follow-up about finances from my first book, which is The Right Approach to Financial Survival in America. So SeanMLewis.com is where you can reach me. My Facebook is Sean Lewis. My Instagram is Sean Lewis as well.
All right. Good deal. Well, I'm Adam Wozniak.
I'm Darren Parkinson.
And I'm Joy McDonald.
And we are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.